It's wonderful to see you all here this morning, and we'll continue with our Bible reading now, which picks up the theme of the whole of our service this morning, which is sacrifice. I'm reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, reading from verse 9 to 16. If you could pick up your pew Bible, the Bible that's in the pew there, it's page 102 in the New Testament. It would be wonderful if you could follow in God's word as I read to you. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Paul. So I'm going to pick up on that passage as I go through, and just going to be talking for about 5 or 10 minutes, tops. Symbols, not the ones on the drums, symbols that we see around us. Can anyone think of any symbols that we might see around us on a day-to-day basis? Anyone think of any symbols that you might know of? Yeah. A cross, yeah, you do see a cross. We're going to come on to that one. Fantastic, well done. We'll come on to that in a bit. And a poppy. A poppy is a symbol, isn't it? Fantastic. Any other symbols that you can think of? You've got my sermon sorted. Have you read my notes? Because I'm doing poppy and a cross later on. I don't need to say anything else. You've sorted it. Symbols, they're all around us, aren't they? And actually, symbols are so important because they say something. A symbol says something. Am I a bit loud? Am I echoing? Yeah, am I getting nods? A bit loud, maybe. They have a meaning and they have a significance, don't they? So, if I asked you what's the symbol for a... Don't show it yet, but if I asked you what's the symbol for a Ferrari, who could tell me what the symbol for a Ferrari is? Shout out. A horse, a horse. Anyone driven a Ferrari? Paul has. Put your hand down, Paul. Anyone else driven a Ferrari? My son drove a Ferrari about 3 weeks ago. It was his 18th birthday, and we didn't know what to get him, so we got him a driving experience. And he, our Tom, if you've met Tom, Tom's 6'4" and a bit. He's a big lad. And so we got an experience to drive a Ferrari for his 18th and a Lamborghini. And when we went to the racetrack, the Three Sisters in Wigan, to do this experience day, he was so excited, really nervous, but really excited. And he, first car up was the Lamborghini. And he queued up with the others to get into this car, and he must have been queuing for 20 minutes before he got his chance to go and get in the Lamborghini. And as he'd walked forward to get into the Lamborghini, the door swings open, one of these fancy doors that swings up, and he couldn't get in because he's too tall. And the instructor actually said, "You're not going to fit, mate." He tried everything, moved the seats back, but because of his legs, he couldn't actually drive. He was too tall to drive the Lamborghini. But he did drive a Ferrari, and he loved driving the Ferrari, and then the Nissan GTR. But the Ferrari was it. Something amazing, isn't there, about the Ferrari. Let's have a look at the symbol. So, you told me what it is. It's a symbol for a Ferrari. But there's actually something that we all recognize it instantly. But it's not just a symbol that we recognize, because we know that that points to something much better. That points to actually the whole motorsport history of Ferrari. How many Formula One world championships? How many amazing cars? It points to that history and the just state of the art, technology and performance and all of that that you get with a Ferrari. When you buy a Ferrari, and I've got four in the garage, you don't just buy the badge, you buy the full package, don't you? You buy into the whole package. Next slide. Now then, who knows what that symbol is? Anybody know what that symbol is? Anyone? Anyone got, right, go on, you tell me, what's that? The Apple badge. It's the Apple badge. So, you all recognize it instantly. Who has an iPhone? Oh, not that many then. Who has an Android phone? Oh, more people, Matt. More have an Android, you'll see. But yes, it's an Apple. I say to Matt, because Matt is an Apple fan. But likewise, with the Ferrari, with Apple, you don't just buy the product, do you? You're buying into something. You're buying into the whole package that goes with it. Lots of people who are Apple fans don't just have a phone, they actually have the rest of the suite to go with it. So it's the computer and whatever else you want to have. They buy into the package. In fact, there are some people who are so keen on Apple, this is the official title, they are actually called Apple evangelists. People who go out preaching the good news of Apple products. Matt is almost an Apple evangelist. Almost. He likes them so much, he talks about them all the time. However, there you go. But you're buying into the state-of-the-art technology on a handheld unit or a computer and the advancement of all of that is. That's what you're buying into. Today, I want to look at the two symbols that you've just mentioned to me, which is the poppy and the cross. But first, let's look at the poppy. You see, we see the poppy, don't we, every year from October to November. There's people around in the shopping centres. There's people out and about who are, or wherever you go, there might be these little kiosks where you can pop a few pennies in or whatever you want to give, and you can take a poppy. We see this symbol of this poppy. People wear it. On the TV, it's that everyone's got a poppy on. But there's something much deeper that goes behind it than just the picture itself. As we've heard a little bit from what Ruth was sharing with us, in late 1914, the fields of northern France and Flanders were ripped open as the First World War raged through Europe's heart. The significance of the poppy is a lasting memorial to the fallen who died. And it was realized by the Canadian surgeon John McCrae in the poem Flanders Fields. I'm sure you've all heard Flanders Fields. And I think there's the first two verses there. And I'll read them. In Flanders Field, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark the place. And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amidst the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. The fighting ceased in 1918. The mud of the battlefields was allowed to rest, and then nature began to take over and began to restore that field, I suppose. And slowly the flowers grew, the wildflowers grew, and that included the poppies. And the color of the red, as the poppies flourished, reminded people of the bloodshed and the sacrifice of millions of brave soldiers who gave their lives. And so this poppy became the symbol of sacrifice and of the bloodshed. And today it's recognized as that symbol, and we remember, as we have this morning, all those brave souls who gave their lives and made the ultimate sacrifice. And we pause. The nation pauses to remember the servicemen and women of the armed forces in conflicts both past and present. Because the real danger is, I think as a youngster I thought this, that actually it's about the First World War and the Second World War. And it doesn't stop there, because there's been countless wars since, and there are still conflicts ongoing today. There is warfare happening today, and so we're remembering all of that and all of those who are involved today. And that includes the police and the peacekeepers in those places. It includes the civilians who were caught up in crossfires, all those who've been scarred through physical or mental suffering. And because of that, their lives will never be the same again. And it's in part thanks to them that we can sit here today. Because of what they have given for us, we're able to stand in freedom and safety here this morning. And as Paul read, the words say in the ode, it says, "For your tomorrow, we gave our today." And as the poppy is a symbol of sacrifice, I also want to look at another great symbol of sacrifice, and that's the symbol of the Christian faith, and that's the cross. Because it's the cross on which Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. You see, in Jesus, we see a man who is fully man, but he's also fully divine. He's fully God. Fully man, fully God. He's a man who stood for everything good in this world that God created. A man who lived a sin-free life. Can you imagine that? A man who never did anything wrong. Who here has never done anything wrong? Never done anything wrong? Well, I think we probably all have. We've all done something wrong. I get things wrong every single day. I think we all do things wrong. Jesus was the man who understood the terms justice and righteousness better than anyone else. And yet, he was crucified and he was tortured. And he showed the world in that one act what real love was all about. One of Jesus' great sayings, we've just heard Paul read today from scriptures, it says this, "Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends." And then he goes on to say, "And I call you friends. I call you friends if you'll follow me." How amazing is that? Jesus gave his life for his friends. And he calls us friends if we're prepared to follow him. He gave his life for you, the ultimate sacrifice. And that's the reason that we as Christians come to church each Sunday, to remember what Jesus did for us. That sacrifice made on the cross. And when we come to communion in a bit, we say some special words that help us to remember. A lot of the Christian faith is about remembering. But we also look forward. We look forward. It's the past that enables us to shape our future as we look forward. Because looking back isn't always the best thing to do. Yes, it can help and it can shape, but actually we need to learn and then we've got to move on and move forward. We have a hope and we have a future. That's the reality of the cross, and that's what the symbol is. Because if you note, the cross is not empty. It's not got Jesus still on it. It's empty. Jesus has risen. That's the hope that we have, the promise of eternal life. And that starts here and now. It's not something that we have to wait till we die. If we accept Jesus in our lives now, it starts now, that life with him. We can be changed by him every day, and we have the promise that stretches into eternity because Jesus has won the victory over sin and death for every one of us. Through the sacrifice of those who gave their lives, we have the opportunity to live life now. But the sacrifice that Jesus made for us means that we can live life to the full now and on into eternity. The question is, will you choose to follow the cross, the way of the cross? Will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because he does say it's not always easy to follow him. He says we should pick up our cross on a daily basis. In other words, it means sacrifice. For those of us who are prepared to follow Jesus, there are sacrifices that we have to make as we do that. But Jesus calls us to a fight. It's not the sort of fight that we've been thinking about this morning with guns and weapons or going into different war zones. But it's a fight to see the world changed, to see wrongs put right, and ultimately, and most importantly, to see men and women and children won for him. The Diocese of Liverpool has a phrase that we use, which is more people knowing Jesus, more justice in the world. How true is that? If more people come to know Jesus, then there will be more justice in this world. Sacrifice is costly. For the men and women we remember today, it was a huge cost. For some, the ultimate cost. Jesus' sacrifice cost him everything. He sacrificed the riches of heaven to come down to this earth for you and for me, to die the most gruesome, horrible death in our place. And he took our guilt and our shame, and he nailed it to the cross for you and for me. I wonder how you're going to respond to that. So you can't ignore that. You have to respond to that in some way. I wonder how you're going to respond to that. There's a challenge there. And as Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. To live a Christian life means sacrifice. What are you willing to lay down for the Lord today? Maybe he's calling you to pick something up today. Or maybe today he's calling you to follow him. Two great symbols of sacrifice, the poppy and the cross. Let's pray together. Father, on this most poignant of days, as we think about sacrifice made by countless millions, we also think of the ultimate sacrifice that you made, so that through you, we could be saved. Help us, Lord, to respond to the cross, that we might turn to you and follow in your footsteps. Amen.